is the final call for all international passengers. Please have your passports ready and proceed.
Once more with feeling. Having a miss going overseas with you. Today we're going somewhere very special. We're off to India and we're looking at a high-tech dating scene that's fast emerging.
It's a very location-based app.
Okay.
Yeah, so now it's going to look for people around me.
And then you like or dislike.
So I do not want to. Absolutely not.
And you just swipe that guy. That's quite brutal.
Yeah. that's how it works.
Oh yeah, we're talking Tinder in India. Tindia, that's what we're talking. This is the dating app that matches you based on your location. So you're probably familiar with this. Come on, admit it. Swipe right if you like whoever it is that's on the screen. Left to pass, hopefully. So I'm on a swipe right you back. And then who knows what will happen. It only launched in India a year ago, but the user base is growing by 1% each day. And I want to know why, so I'm delighted to welcome to the show Isha Singh Sawhney, who's a lifestyle and culture journalist in New Delhi. She's written about this very topic for Elle India, and she joins us now via Skype. Isha, thank you very much for joining us today.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. India embracing Tinder. I don't know why I should be surprised. I suppose it makes perfect sense.
It does make sense, actually. India is going to have one of the largest population of young people by 2020 in the world. So, you know, young people, Tinder, it just has to make sense.
Well, I suppose the real question is why it took so long. I know the one columnist spoke about 2014 as the year that India embraced Tinder. There are plenty of years before where it could have.
Well, I mean, you have to take into account the fact that we're still a very traditional society. This is a pretty minuscule percent of the country that's sort of casually dating and not dating to get married and not hooking up to date, you know? I mean, that's pretty much what Tinder is, right? I mean, it's not about meeting someone or meeting your soulmate or meeting the person you're going to date for even a week or a month. At the end of the day, it's casual sex, and we're still not okay with that.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can't keep such a large young population away from their hormones. That's pretty
fair enough. With that background, I'm a little scared to acknowledge this, but it is written in front of me, and so I can assume it's true. Apparently, you've signed into Tinder, so you're in a position to tell us who's using it.
Essentially, I would have to say that it's an affluent urban audience at the moment. You have to also take into account that you need to have a smartphone, preferably an iPhone, to use Tinder. But the demographic is mostly men. There are a few brave women out there, which is also very impressive. But the men, well, they're across the board. I mean, you can literally find someone who has a god picture up, to someone who's posing with a tiger, to someone who's with his family. There are actually pictures of men with their wives and children on Tinder. So I feel like a lot of people are missing the point.
That's amazing. I mean, but the God picture thing is interesting because that speaks to what you might call a kind of social conservatism. Am I misreading that?
Yes. No, for sure. Absolutely. And social conservatism comes from people who are on it because they just see it as another networking site. You know, they're not really... they're not looking at Tinder as Grindr for straight people.
This is a nation, though, that at least according to UNICEF has about 90% of marriages being arranged. So is this kind of undercutting those sort of traditional institutions or is it just an adjunct?
It's very niche. So back in the day, we used to have matchmaking through like even barbers, right? They were the sort of hub of like a community or a village. And they used to say, eligible girl, eligible boy, let's get them married and then go to the parents. And then they used to have horoscopes. And it was a long procedure that involved like every member of the family, every aunt and uncle conceivable. And now I think what this does and what other dating sites do is simplify that process. You know, young people don't want to go through all that headache. They're busy, they have jobs, or they just don't want to involve the parents because expectations are so much higher than, you know. So it's a very small percent. It's growing. But yeah, and actually when I see Tinder and I see the Indian sort of spin-offs that have come up in the last 1 year, they're not also saying let's like casually hook people up. They're saying let's casually date.
So it's refracted through the cultural prism of India, which makes perfect sense. And we do have a couple of Tinder users who spoke to CNN. Let's hear from them now.
So the funny thing is my parents have signed me onto these matrimonial websites.
So your parents are trying to set up an arranged marriage for you, essentially. But you're also on Tinder. How does that work?
Even though like our parents would be in a completely different sort of India,
But our generation is becoming more non-judgmental as a generation. So I think that's really working out in everyone's favor.
Isha, I'm interested in that judgmentalism. Is it really on the wane?
Yeah. When you talk about parents hooking their children up, they're going to have so many factors that come into play, from the more regressive ones of caste and religion to like just economic standards. You know, I mean, like, what social class are you from? What financial backgrounds do you come from? I think young people these days just want to sort of go out there and meet someone that they can talk movies with or books with or go on a hike with. And that's simplifying relationships for us, you know.
I think that might be a bit of a global trend, actually. You mentioned before that there are other spin-off apps, sort of homegrown dating apps that have happened. We've got an expat here, Josh Israel, who's the creator of an app called Thrill, which scares the pants off me, frankly. This is where men apply to join, and then women get to rate them thrilling or not thrilling. Here he is.
We're actually seeing people in the 21 to 25-year-old demographic join, the young professionals. And I think maybe they are looking for something that's different than, you know, what's out there, the typical matrimonial websites that you see on the internet. It's not hip. They don't have any mobile products. And all these people are using smartphones now. And so we're kind of solving their need.
I don't know why you would want to subject yourself to this, Isha.
It works for women. It works for us.
I'm sure it works for you. And there are lots of these sort of dating apps and sites that are around. So there's Thrill, Woo, Truly Madly, Match Me Cupid, Daisy Crush. I love that. That's got to be my favorite title. Are they all different from Tinder?
They're, again, moving away from, in fact, one of them, I don't remember which one, actually on the opening page of the website says, "We're looking to hook you up with someone that you can date." You know, they're literally spelling it out in so many words. This is not a casual hookup site. India's Moral Brigade is going to be up in arms in a second if they actually have websites that are selling casual sex. They'll shut you down in a heartbeat. So these guys actually have to play it safe. And you appeal to a lot more people. A lot of people say that we're shy. Indian men have it's very difficult for them to approach Indian women, because especially in, say, Delhi, because it's not as cosmopolitan as Bombay, because women are shut off and men don't know how to sort of approach women. This makes it easier for them, but not that easy. They're still very awkward, and they still, you know, need to have that end game of mummy, papa sitting somewhere who will approve of the girl, even if the girl's from Tinder.
Yeah, the matchmaking auntie is very important.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the matchmaking auntie at some point was partially replaced by Shaadi.com. What's going to happen to this? Is this being displaced?
No, not at all. Shaadi.com boasts some astronomical, like, everyday traffic. They get like 10,000 users a day. I think these dating websites probably gather those many users in a year. There's no way that they're getting displaced.
You mentioned Grindr before, which would, I suppose, in the West be considered kind of like the sister app for Tinder, more aimed at the gay community. I would imagine the taboos probably get in the way in India, but are those sort of apps also in existence?
I mean, homosexuality is illegal in India. So everything, I think, in India is at the moment working at this weird sort of contradictory level, because at one sort of place you have our moral police and our politicians and our parents and the so-called guardians of society. And at one level you have this fast-growing urban cosmopolitan, you know, they're traveling, they're on their phones, they're on the internet, they're watching American TV shows, and they want more from life. They don't want to adhere to all of this. It's the same thing with the gay community. They're out there. They're not hiding anymore. We've had the queer pride for 6-7 years now, despite the fact that the Supreme Court just sort of upheld homosexuality as being illegal, which dates back to the British Raj. I mean, that's how archaic this is. But there are still people on Grindr. It's a smallish community, and they're all sort of networked, and they get in touch with each other. But yes, there's definitely a clash of like these two worlds that's happening. And I also think that the older generation is beginning to listen to the younger generation. You know, they're beginning to say, okay, maybe you have a point, maybe we can't pressurize you into doing something that we want you to do. So it's easing up.
We're going to finish on a song, which is what we often do in this segment, Isha, but I've got to get you to explain this to me. So this comes from a film called Happy Ending, but this is a song called Ji Padake with Govinda, Saif Ali Khan and Iliana. But what's the connection with Tinder here?
So actually, the movie is interesting because it came out in November, and it has like our big Saif Ali Khan, who's like been the heartthrob in India for the last 2 decades. But they took a very interesting sort of turn with the promotional activities that preceded the film. And usually what they do is they have campaigns on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. And this time they actually created 2 Tinder profiles for the characters, the lead characters in the film. And people came and they sort of had conversations with them. And all the conversations ended ended with whoever had these dialogues with them getting movie tickets for the premiere in whatever city they were in.
Right.
So that was like the whole idea. The movie is about this guy who's a philandering sort of bachelor who lives in New York, typical sort of Indian urban plot, and how he falls in love with this girl, blah, 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 and happy endings, I guess, happen at the
of
end of it.
Although I can't wait to dig into it. Isha, happy swiping. Thank you very much for helping us.
Thanks.
Isha Singh Soni, who's a lifestyle and culture journalist in New Delhi. Let's go out with a bit of Jeepadake with Govinda, Saif Ali Khan and Ileana, and see if you can spot the South Korean influences here. Let me put it that way. The news will follow at 7 o'clock. I'll be back 5 minutes after that.
Sare.